This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Taylor family. Good morning, Taylor friends. Good morning to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube Live. Good morning to those of you who are in the sanctuary. I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are streaming live from Philadelphia, PA, where the elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Now, don't you love it when someone recognizes you for a job well done? When your boss says, good job, or when your spouse or kids say, thank you for whatever. But it should be like that with the saints. Every day, because every day is a day of thanksgiving. And on Sunday, we collectively, on one accord, can get together to praise the Lord for all he has done. We should have a testimony on our tongue, a praise in our heart, because if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Amen, amen, amen. At this time, we will have our scripture reading. And I welcome all those who are able to stand in honor and reference to the Word of God. Our reading will be coming from Psalms, the 36th chapter, verses 5 through 9. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Let us pray. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone. There is a cross for you and a cross for me. Our Father and our God, once again we come to the throne room of grace, thanking you for allowing us to see another Sunday, keeping us and protecting us for one more week, giving us the desire to seek your presence, pressing our way to the place where your name abides. For it is there where we can find fellowship with you. So no matter what the circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter the trials or tribulations, we know your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted us, so we count it all as joy. For in the end we know that we can cast all our burdens on you. Lord, for it is you and your word that sustains us. For when my foot slips, it is your mercy that will hold me up. When I get tired and weak, we come to you, for you will give us rest. Lord, we ask that you bless the shepherd of this house. Give him a word that will nourish us, a word that will sustain us. Please, Holy Spirit, have your way as he comes before us. In the precious name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
God bless you and good morning to all of you. You may be seated. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Not sure what part of the city or of the country. Thank God for those who are joining us globally. Not sure where you are around the world, but here in Philadelphia, it is a beautiful day. The sun is shining. There's a light breeze blowing across our faces, causing us, reminding us that it's still winter time, and that in fact we are still alive. Amen. And so I just thank God. Thank God for the privilege we have today of being in the house of God, gathered with the people of God, centered around the Word of God. Amen. And so we thank God for all things. I hope your new year has gotten off to a new start, a good start. Last week we spent time looking forward into 2021. I gave you 5 suggestions for beginning the new year. I hope you have taken those to heart and have in fact implemented some, if not all of them. But what I want to do this Sunday, instead of looking forward into 2021, I actually want to take a few moments and look back at 2020. So many of us are anxious to put 2020 behind us, to get it in our rear view mirror, as it were, and to press forward into the new year and into the coming days ahead. But I think there is something to be gained by looking back. And so that's what I would like to do this morning. To help us do that, we're going to look at a passage of scripture out of the Old Testament, the 29th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. So again, the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. And we're just going to look after those first 6 verses. Okay? The first 6 verses. So much can be learned or gleaned from the Old Testament. That's why it is referred to as our schoolmaster. There's so much that we can learn by reading and absorbing the wealth of wisdom contained in the Old Testament. Even as we come into the New Testament and try to understand and grasp the atoning work of Christ and what it means to us today as believers. So again, the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, 29, verses 1 through 6. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I realize you do have on your new Christmas pajamas, and you are probably lying prostrate, not at the altar, but in your Sealy Perfect Sleeper, or maybe on your lounge couch, whatever it may be. But we're going to have you stand one more time and as we read out of the Word of God. Amen. If you're there, you're going to see these words. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now, Moses called all of Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear to this very day. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." Amen. with the few moments that we have this Sunday morning, as you do the church hop around on the internet, I do realize today many folks have more than just one pastor these days. they're in church from 9 to 2 these days. So the Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us during this hour. What I want to talk about this morning is from the subject, the same clothes and the same shoes. The same clothes and the same shoes. Lord, bless your word. Imprint it on our heart and give us the faith and courage to live by it. Help us not to forget the great sacrifice that Christ your Son has made for us. And help us to lay hold to the truth and the mystery hidden in the Word of God. Not hidden to the believer, but hidden to the unbeliever, but accessible by faith to those that trust in God. This is our prayer. And we ask it this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. And these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel. They were in the plains of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Moses called all Israel and he said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants, to all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear to this very day." Once again, Moses provided an important review of Israel's history. He reminded them of everything the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh. But before continuing, Moses made a powerful observation. He said, "Yet to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear to this very day." This was a sad recognition that even as the people stood there on the plains of Moab with all of God's miracles and power vividly in their conscious mind and in their memories, they had not yet fully grasped the spiritual significance of what God had done. They would not be able to operate or obey the instructions of God's covenant, nor receive its blessings without it. Matthew 13:13 tells us, "Therefore, speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." Always pray, "Lord, help me to see, hear, and understand your word." One of the things I encourage you to do going into the new year is to spend more time in the Word of God. A number of people, as is that happens often this time of year, they start a new Bible reading plan, or going to read the year in the Bible, or just commit to read more of the Bible in general. And what I often encourage folks to do who ask me, "Well, Pastor, where do I start? Should I start at Genesis? Do I start in the New Testament?" One of the things I always like to suggest is for people to start in the Gospel of John. If you're looking for a good place to start so that you can get some good biblical foundation and understanding to your salvation and faith, John is a great place to start. But even as you read the Word of God, I want to encourage you, you must accompany that with faithful prayer. And in that prayer, we must do two things. One, again, as I mentioned on last Sunday, we must confess our sins. Okay? We must be open and honest with God about our failure to keep His word. Okay? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In addition to confessing our sins, we must ask God for an understanding of His word. Okay? Because it is possible to read the word of God and not understand the word of God. Which is almost as worse, which is almost as worse as not reading the word of God at all. Because anytime you read something and you don't understand it, you're tempted to what? Put it down. Why? Because you don't understand it anyway. Why read it? And in so doing, the what? The enemy has gotten the victory. But when we read the word of God, we want God to open our eyes, ears, mind, so that we can not only hear, see, but understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to the people of God. Are you with me in this? Despite all they had experienced, Israel was spiritually blind to the significance of what the Lord had done for them. And lacking spiritual understanding, even while Moses was speaking to them, the covenant of God. The Lord has not given them an understanding heart simply because the people had not penitently sought after it. Israel's confidence was in Moses' health. As long as Moses was alive and around, they felt that they could do anything they wanted to do, and when things got bad, just call Moses. Moses can go up on the mountain. Moses can talk with God. Moses can intercede for us. And in so doing, they never cultivated a relationship with God. Are you following me? I want you to realize this morning, I'm your pastor, but I'm not your God. I've got to work the word of God for my own soul salvation, just like you. Are you with me in this? So gone should be the days of us placing our hope and confidence in another man or woman just like us. Our hope and our confidence needs to be in God and in God's plan for our hope, salvation, and redemption. And that's Jesus Christ. Are you with me on this? Because if you don't do that, it would be possible, just like for Israel, for you to stand and hear the word of God and yet not understand it. Are you with me in this? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. One of the obstacles to receiving an understanding of God's word is the presence of sin in our own lives. The only way to see, hear, and understand God's word is to read it and to continually confess our sins to Him and to one another and to request an understanding from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me in this? Verse 5. God told Moses, He said, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. He said, your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink. that you may know that I am the Lord your God. What was it that the children of Israel failed to see, to hear, to know, or understand? What was it that God, what was it that they were unable to perceive about their God? The answer to that is that when they look back over their history, they failed to realize and appreciate that God did it. Right? Moses said, you guys have seen, you've heard, it's been reported to you, all that God has done to Pharaoh, all that he's done to Pharaoh's servant, all that he did in the land of Egypt. He said, that's your history. That's your Exodus. Great miracles. Vivid. I mean, just undeniable. I mean, it's just there. All of the plagues, the death of the firstborn, the death angel coming through, harming Egypt, but not harming Israel. The crossing of the Red Sea, the killing of Pharaoh and 600 of his choice chariots as God brought the walls of the Red Sea crashing down on them. Just gigantic miracles. Every now and then you ought to look back on your life and just thank God for gigantic miracles. Raise your hand if you have any. I mean, just gigantic. I mean, just the witness is there. God did that. But Moses goes on to say, not only do you have that, but also he said, for 40 years I led you in the wilderness. A wilderness experience, obviously there's the natural side to it, a deserted place, a place without vegetation or livestock or anything like that. But from a spiritual context, a wilderness experience is usually thought of as a tough time in which a believer endures discomfort and trials. A wilderness experience is usually thought of as a tough time in which a believer endures discomfort and trials, right? Look at somebody and say 2020. During 2020, both believers and unbelievers alike experienced tough times where they had to endure discomfort and trials. Nehemiah 29:19 reminds us that God was a pillar cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to lead Israel through the wilderness. So Moses is saying, you got some obvious stuff that God did, but you have some other stuff equally as powerful that God has done, and you are failing to recognize that God did it. He said the first thing he did, he led you through the wilderness for 40 years. By day, a pillar of cloud, by night, a pillar of fire, and God, with his own hand, guided Israel through the wilderness. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say 2020. 2020 for so many people has been a wilderness experience. But the reality is this. If this morning you are hearing my voice, seeing my face, right, then that is a sign that you made it through 2020. That even though it was a wilderness experience, yet God provided a way out. Are you with me this Sunday morning? And he did it without a GPS. He did it without Google Maps. He did it without Waze. Many of us face uncharted waters in 2020, but God, by his own wisdom, has led us through it. Are you with me in this? So Israel is not the only one that has gone through a wilderness. And how about this? How many of us can give testimony to this? That not only has 2020 been a wilderness, but there are major sections of our lives that in fact have been wilderness experiences. Going back to our childhoods, many of us suffer unbelievable damage and scarring out of our childhood, but yet God brought us. Many of us go into our teenage years confused about life, confused about where we fit, confused about what we are supposed to do, confused about how we relate to church, how we relate to God, how we relate to our friends, how do we relate to our family. Yet God brings us out of it. We stumble into our 20s and into our 30s trying to piece together a life, and we start out with so many grand visions. I'm going to do this when I get it. I'm going to be that, only to get into life, and we find our life turns out nothing like we imagined. But yet what? God brought us through it. God brought us through it, and every so often we can look back on our lives and see that it was God that brought us through it. Look at somebody and tell them God did it. And he says here, he said, I led you 40 years in the wilderness. And when I read this, this is what got my attention. And he said, for 40 years, your clothes have not worn out. Are you with me? If you're in the spirit, you got it already. I can put the mic down. You got the message. For 40 years, your sandals have not given way. I'm telling you, he's the same God, and he can bless you in the same clothes, even with the same shoes on your feet. Here it is. Most people thank God for all of the new stuff they acquire in life. Am I right about it? Y'all may not realize I'm preaching already. I don't know what you're waiting for. I'm in the runway right now. We thank him for new clothes, new shoes. We thank him for new houses and new cars. And we thank him for new promotions and new advancements. But when I look back at 2020, I want to thank God not for anything new, because I didn't get anything new. I think this shirt is over 10 years old. And I just want to thank God. See, Jordan's a witness. He knows what's in my, but I just want to thank God that it means that for 10 years, God has kept me in the same clothes. Wearing the same, now these aren't the same shoes, but you get the point. Touch his name and tell him God did it. Matthew 6:19 says this, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break in and can steal all of your new stuff. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves are unable to break in and steal. Here it is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I'm just glad this second Sunday in 2021 that my treasure is not in anything new. My treasure, my hope, my confidence is not in any new acquisition, new purchases, new holidays gift, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Somebody in the church shall yes. Yeah, God did it. See, when you keep getting new stuff, that's what the world calls keeping up with the Joneses. But I'm glad. I'm preaching. Y'all need to help me here. The world wants to keep up with the Joneses. But believers everywhere, our goal is not to keep up with the Joneses,
but to keep up with Jesus, because He alone can save us from our sins. He alone can bring us through the wilderness. He alone can deliver us into a promised land, a hope and a future beyond this world. I'll forget the Joneses. Just give me Jesus. I'll forget anything new. Give me the same clothes, same shoes. I'll take you.
Yeah. Here it is. I'm going to add to the witness and close this thing out. I'm going to add to the witness. Deuteronomy 8:4. And he's reciting the same thing, but he adds an addendum to it. He says, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell for 40 years. Boy, I wish I had a real church. Good Lord Almighty. 40 years. It wasn't enough that He kept you and led you through the wilderness, but He kept you with no Walmart, no Target, no Macy's, no Kohl's. Why? Because you didn't need it. Because God performed a miracle, and He did it in my same clothes. He brought me out in my same shoes, and He blessed me so much my feet didn't even swell, nor did my ankles puff up. I didn't get an Uber. I didn't get a Lyft. The Israelites walked everywhere they had to go, and God proved Himself by blessing them in the same clothes, same shoes, and with the same ankles and feet. Somebody shout yes. Find somebody in your house and just tell them God did it. When I look back at 2020, all I can say is God did it. Yeah, I don't know about you. I didn't get much new stuff in 2020. I didn't advance a whole lot in 2020. But I tell you what did advance. My faith in Jesus. My faith in God has gone up exponentially because God proved to me I can bless you anywhere. I can bless you anyhow if you just trust in me and never doubt. He will surely bring you out. Do I have a witness in the house today? Shout yes. And so before you run off head first in the 2020, why not take a moment and look back? Why, instead of heading off in the 2021, why not take a moment and look back at 2020? See and realize what God has done for you. He's blessed you. You're in the same clothes, same house, same situation. But what? He brought you through it. Some way, somehow. Lord, give me eyes to see that kind of stuff. Give me a spirit to see the hand of the Lord working in my life. So many of us face new challenges. Placed in new situations. Didn't know how we were going to do it. Many of us forced to become teachers for the first time.
many of us forced to now take over the family finances for the first time. Not enough of this. Not enough of that. Not enough room in the house. Not enough food in the house. Not enough clothes in the house. But if you trust Jesus and never doubt, He will bring you out and He'll prove to you He can bless you in the same clothes, the same shoes. He'll bless your feet. They'll never get tired. And your ankles, they won't swell. Not because you're in shape, not because you're on a good diet, but God blesses my body. God blesses my mind, and I can do all things if I just trust. I just came to tell you that even in the same clothes, same shoes, same feet, the power of God is at work in your life. The question is, can you see it? He closes out by saying, you never ate bread. You never had wine or strong drink. These are byproducts of human effort. To have bread, you got to cook it. To have wine or drink, someone's got to ferment the grapes. Prepare it so that you... For 40 years, they never had bread. You know why? God fed them with manna from heaven. Manna, angel's food. God literally took from the storehouse of heaven and with his own hand fed the children of Israel through the, and not one time, not just on Sunday or Sabbath, but every day there was a new portion. Are you guys looking back at 2020? Don't get so excited about running into 21 where if you don't take a moment and look back and say, oh my God, the Lord brought me. Oh my goodness, the Lord kept me. When the pandemic hit, I didn't know what I was going to do. But somehow, the Lord made a way. Somehow, I wish I had my real church. Never, no wine, no fermented drink. Well, how did they sustain them? Food you can go a while without, but water you gotta have often, immediately, else risk dehydration. Moses reminds them that he used his rod to strike the rock. And the Bible said water came out and began to nourish the children of Israel. God provided water. God provided sustenance. And guess what? They were still where? In the wilderness. You can learn more about your God in the wilderness of life than you can in the promised land of success. There's things to be learned on both sides. But if we would just slow down a minute and not be in such a hurry to get beyond our wilderness, instead of while we're in it, to realize, I can only imagine going through the Red Sea, as they walked through, they had to look up and say, who in the world can do something like this? Not just the water standing up, but the fish coming to the edge of the water, things they had never seen before. And that's what God is doing for you. Here it is. I'm finished the message. Here it is. The end of verse 6. He says, that you may know that I am the Lord, your God. That's what the wilderness is for. It's not to harm you. It's not to put more upon you than you're able to bear. The wilderness comes so that you can see God. Because if all your life is detailed by all the new stuff, and you never go through hard places, and you never experience tough times, you will fail to trust in God. You begin to think it's by your own hand, by your own power and your own strength, that I've gotten the victory. But no, we know, we got a witness. God did this. We look back at 2020. We don't say nothing else. We can look back and say, God brought me out. I didn't come out pretty. I didn't come out on top, but I came out. I didn't come out the way I wanted to come out. I didn't come out when I wanted to come out. But thanks be to God, I came out anyway. The Lord did this. And he did it to remind me that he is God. But here it is. Here it is. I'll give you this and I'm finished with it. If God can bring the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land, the confidence they should have had is that regardless of who occupies the promised land, the same God that brought us out of that shall in like manner give us the victory over this. And that's my message to my church this Sunday. If God could bring you out of 2020, I wish I had my real church this Sunday, then surely he's able, not only can he do it, but he will do it. Take you through 2021 and give you the victory. Everything that was held up in the wilderness, everything you lost during the wilderness, God said it's going to come back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But you got to be able to do it in your same clothes and in the same shoes. Somebody shout yes. That's the word today, church. That's the best I got. I'm like Anita. I'm giving you the best I got. That's what the Lord gave me, for you to be encouraged going into the new year, that if God could keep me and my family through the entirety of 2020, then surely he's able to keep everything I commit into his hand. God bless you, Taylor. The Lord keep you and cause his face to smile down upon you.
The same clothes, the same shoes. And if you can't see it, even though you have the same clothes and the same shoes, you need a new heart. Because sin separates us from God. So if you want your eyes to be open to see the marvelous works that the Lord is doing in your life, then you need to make things right with God. Realize that you are a sinner and learn to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So those of you who are in the sanctuary, those of you who are watching live, if you just say this simple prayer, just repeat after me. If you would like to receive Christ today, just say, "Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that His shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me. Amen." Now, if you accepted this call to salvation today, please visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com and go to our contacts page. Check the box, "I am interested in becoming a Christian," and leave us a short message. Someone from our staff will contact you and discuss your next steps in your Christian journey. If you have a prayer request, again, visit our webpage at www.taylortabernacle.com and find our prayer request page. Or just call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave a message. And at this time, we will transition to our period of giving. Amen? Now, here at Taylor Tabernacle, you can give through one of three ways. You can give through text to give, online through our website, and by using the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, Taylor 61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, just go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and then follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary, you will find two baskets by the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering, and one for the preacher of the hour. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And at this time, we will have our announcements by Deacon Todd McCoy.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. For our announcements, once again, the pastor and the leadership would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of our church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. And in response to the City of Philadelphia's restrictions, if you come and join us in the church, which you may, we are limited to 10 people in the sanctuary and 12 people on the third floor. Now, if you decide to join us, let us remember the Lord told us what? Love one another as I have loved you. So before you come down, if you have any symptoms, check your temperature. If you have any suspicion because you've been around someone who you think has been exposed to the virus, please stay at home. Not as a restriction, but I don't want to give it to you, and I know you don't want to give it to me. We can pray for each other, but that's why the Lord has made a way for us to see and hear His word delivered from this pulpit by our pastor. Amen? Amen. Also, while we're still going through COVID, our van service is suspended. So if you are going to come down and join us, you would have to find another way to get here. Amen? Amen. Upcoming is the federal holiday, the national holiday for Martin Luther King's birthday. The Alliance invites you to an MLK Day of Service virtual workshop. And that is occurring on Monday, January 18th at 11 a.m. So that would be not tomorrow, but next Monday after that. The title is The Role of Sports in Combating Racism and Anti-Semitism. What lessons can we learn from Martin Luther King Jr. about combating racism and anti-Semitism as they apply to the world of sports? Join the discussion with Marcus Allen, CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and he is a former professional basketball player. Bruce Pearl, who's the head coach of the Auburn Tigers men's basketball team. He led his team to their first ever NCAA Final Four in 2019. Now, for those of you who are interested and you want to get a pen and paper, I'll read this slowly. To register for this event, please go to the website www.allianceoftrust.org. So that would be ALLIANCEOFTRUST.org. If you want to register and participate in this virtually. Amen. This event is sponsored by Mainline Reformed Temple, Taylor's Tabernacle, and Temple Bethel. Amen. Amen. Friday night prayer and Bible study continues at 7:30 p.m. via the church conference line. The conference line dial-in number is 775-799-9141. And apart from you participating, tell your friends. They can call in as well, right? Put their phone on mute and hear the word. Amen? Amen. If you have a prayer request, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so that we can respond to you. Amen. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and events and dates. So if you're watching online, you can check there and then follow us. Amen. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Amen. Amen. All of this is to say that despite everything that's going on with the passage just preached about, his house of worship is still in operation. Amen. Amen. And now we'll turn the floor back over to our pastor.
Thank you, Deacon Todd. Thank you, Deacon Abrams. God bless all of you here in the sanctuary. God bless all of you who are joining us remotely, those coming in via Facebook and those over YouTube. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you giving us this hour of your Sunday worship experience, and we want to be good stewards of it. We hope and pray that something has been said and communicated from the Word of God that strengthens, inspires, and encourages your heart today that you might go forward and live for Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he cause his face to shine down upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Taylor. See you next Sunday.